Welcome to the First Church of Christ Scientist Carmel Wednesday evening service. Now, the Wednesday service.
Good evening. Theologian Henry Drummond, a contemporary of Mrs. Eddy's, published a book on love, the greatest thing in the world. She once said she had intended to write such a book herself, but Professor Drummond had done it so well that he had saved her the effort. The book is based on 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in the Bible. He expounds how the spectrum of love has nine main, what he calls, ingredients: patience, kindness, generosity, humility, courtesy, unselfishness, good temper, guilelessness, and sincerity. He says these make up the supreme gift, the stature of the perfect man. I'm going to be taking the third ingredient, generosity, and through the readings of the Bible and the writings of Mary Baker Eddy, discuss this aspect of love. This is what Drummond has to say on generosity. Love envieth not. This is love in competition with others. Whenever you attempt a good work, you will find other men doing the same kind of work and probably doing it better. Envy them not. Envy is a feeling of ill will to those who are in the same line as ourselves, a spirit of covetousness and detraction. How little Christian work even is a protection against unchristian feeling. That most despicable of all the unworthy moods which cloud a Christian's soul assuredly waits for us on the threshold of every work unless we are fortified with this grace of magnanimity, generosity. Only one thing truly need the Christian envy: the large, rich, generous soul which envieth not. Let's begin our service by singing the hymn 360. True, the heart grows rich in giving. All its wealth is living grain, seeds which mildew in the garner, scattered, filled with gold plain. Is thy burden hard and heavy? Do thy steps drag wearily? Help to bear thy brother's burden. God will bear both it and thee. Hymn number 360.
Thank you.
Read from the Bible. 1 Corinthians, love is not jealous. Genesis. Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other children because Joseph had been born to him in his old age. So one day Jacob had a special gift made for Joseph, a beautiful robe. But his brothers hated Joseph because their father loved him more than the rest of them. They couldn't say a kind word to him. One night, Joseph had a dream, and when he told his brothers about it, they hated him more than ever. "Listen to this dream," he said. "We were out in the field tying up bundles of grain. Suddenly, my bundle stood up, and your bundles all gathered around and bowed low before mine." His brothers responded, "So you think you will be our king, do you? Do you actually think you will reign over us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dreams and the way that he talked about them. Now his brothers had gone to graze their father's flocks near Shechem. So when Joseph arrived, his brothers ripped off the beautiful robe he was wearing. Then they grabbed him and threw him into the cistern. Now, the cistern was empty. There was no water in it. So when the Ishmaelites, who were Midianite traders, came by, Joseph's brothers pulled him out of the cistern and sold him to them for 20 pieces of silver. And the traders took him to Egypt. The Lord was with Joseph, so he succeeded in everything he did as he served in the home of his Egyptian master. Potiphar noticed this and realized that the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything he did. This pleased Potiphar, so he soon made Joseph his personal attendant. He put him in charge of his entire household and everything that he owned. Acts. The patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him and delivered him out of all his afflictions and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. Genesis. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I had a dream last night, and no one here can tell me what it means. But I have heard that when you hear about a dream, you can interpret it." Joseph responded, "God is telling Pharaoh in advance what he is about to do. The next 7 years will be a period of great prosperity throughout the land of Egypt. But afterward, there will be 7 years of famine, so great that all the prosperity will be forgotten in Egypt. Famine will destroy the land." Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has revealed the meaning of the dreams to you, clearly no one else is as intelligent or wise as you are. You will be in charge of my court, and all my people will take orders from you. Only I, sitting on my throne, will have a rank higher than yours." Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I hereby put you in charge of the entire land of Egypt." As predicted, for 7 years the land produced bumper crops. During those years, Joseph gathered all the crops grown in Egypt and stored the grain from the surrounding fields in the cities. At last, the 7 years of bumper crops throughout the land of Egypt came to an end. Then the 7 years of famine began, just as Joseph had predicted. The famine also struck all the surrounding countries, but throughout Egypt, there was plenty of food. When Jacob heard that grain was available in Egypt, he said to his sons, "Why are you standing around looking at one another? I have heard there is grain in Egypt. Go down there and buy enough grain to keep us alive. Otherwise, we'll die." So Joseph's 10 older brothers went down to Egypt to buy grain, although Joseph recognized his brothers, they didn't recognize him. "Please come closer," he said to them. So they came closer, and he said again, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into slavery in Egypt." The news soon reached Pharaoh's palace. "Joseph's brothers have arrived." Pharaoh and his officials were all delighted to hear this. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Tell your brothers, this is what you must do. Load your pack animals and hurry back to the land of Canaan. Then get your father and all your families and return here to me. I will give you the very best land in Egypt, and you will eat from the best that the land produces." 1 Kings. "Forgive your people who have sinned against you. Forgive all the offenses that they have committed against you. Make their captors merciful to them." 1 John. "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also to love one another." Luke. One day, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question, "Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus replied, "What does the law of Moses say? How do you read it?" The man answered, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself." "Right," Jesus told him, "do this and you will live." The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my brother?" Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along, but when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along. And when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, "Take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here." Now, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? Jesus asked. The man replied, "The one who showed him mercy." Then Jesus said, "Yes, now go and do the same." 1 John. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. I shall now read correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. Meekness and charity have divine authority. Love thy neighbor as thyself. It was this theology of Jesus which healed the sick and the sinning. It is his theology in this book and the spiritual meaning of this theology, which heals the sick and causes the wicked to forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. If we turn away from the poor, we are not ready to receive the reward of him who blesses the poor. We confess to having a very wicked heart and ask that it may be laid bare before us, but do we not already know more of this heart than we are willing to have our neighbors see? We should examine ourselves and learn what is the affection and purpose of the heart. For in this way only can we learn what we honestly are. To love one's neighbor as oneself is a divine idea. But this idea can never be seen, felt, nor understood through the physical senses. Eye hath not neither seen God nor his image and likeness. Neither God nor the perfect man can be discerned by the material senses. The individuality of spirit, or the infinite, is unknown, and thus a knowledge of it is left either to human conjecture or to revelation of divine science. The Master said, "No man cometh unto the Father, the divine principle of being, but by me, Christ, the divine principle of being. Life, truth, love. For Christ says, I am the way." Physical causation was put aside from first to last by this original man, Jesus. He knew that the divine principle, love, creates and governs all that is real. Joseph, a corporeal mortal, a higher sense of truth, rebuking mortal belief or error, and showing the immortality and supremacy of truth. Pure affection, blessing its enemies. It is ignorance and false belief based on a material sense of things which hides spiritual beauty and goodness. Understanding this, Paul said, "Neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God." This is the doctrine of Christian Science, that divine love cannot be deprived of its manifestation or object, that joy cannot be turned into sorrow, for sorrow is not the master of joy, that good can never produce evil, that matter can never produce mind, nor life result in death. The perfect man, governed by God, his perfect principle, is sinless and eternal. The wrong done another reacts most heavily against oneself. Right adjusts the balance sooner or later. Think it easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for you to benefit yourself by injuring others. Pride, envy, or jealousy seems on most occasions to be the master of ceremonies, ruling out primitive Christianity. The inoculation of evil human thoughts ought to be understood and guarded against. passion, depraved appetites, dishonesty, envy, hatred, revenge, ripen into action only to pass from shame and woe to their final punishment. Scientific translation of mortal mind. First degree, depravity. Physical, evil beliefs, passions and appetites, fear, depraved will, self-justification, pride, envy, deceit, hatred, revenge, sin, sickness, disease, death. Second degree, evil beliefs disappearing. Moral, humanity, honesty, affection, compassion, hope, faith, meekness, temperance. Third degree, understanding, spiritual, wisdom, purity, spiritual understanding, spiritual power, love, health, holiness. In the third degree, mortal mind disappears, and man as God's image appears. Science so reverses the evidence before the corporeal human senses as to make this scriptural testimony true in our hearts. The last shall be first and the first last, so that God and his idea may be to us what divinity really is and must of necessity be, all inclusive. Jesus aided in reconciling man to God by giving man a truer sense of love, the divine principle of Jesus' teachings. And this truer sense of love redeems man from the law of matter, sin, and death by the law of spirit, the law of divine love. God is what the scriptures declare him to be, life, truth, love. Spirit is divine principle, and divine principle is love, and love is mind, and mind is not both good and bad, for God is mind. Therefore, there is in reality one mind only, because there is one God. The notion that both evil and good are real is a delusion of material sense, which science annihilates. Evil is nothing, no thing, mind nor power. As manifested by mankind, it stands for a lie, nothing claiming to be something. For lust, dishonesty, selfishness, envy, hypocrisy, slander, hate, theft, adultery, murder, dementia, insanity, inanity, devil, hell, with all the et ceteras, that word includes. The first demand of this science is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. This me is spirit. Therefore, the command means this, thou shalt have no intelligence, no life, no substance, no truth, no love, but that which is spiritual. The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. It should be thoroughly understood that all men have one mind, one God and Father, one life, truth, and love. Mankind will become perfect in proportion as this fact becomes apparent. War will cease, and the true brotherhood of man will be established. Having no other gods, turning to no other but the one perfect mind to guide him. Man is the likeness of God, pure and eternal, having that mind which was also in Christ. Spiritual living and blessedness are the only evidences by which we can recognize true existence and feel the unspeakable peace which comes from an all-absorbing spiritual love. When we learn the way in Christian Science and recognize man's spiritual being, we shall behold and understand God's creation. All the glories of earth and heaven and man. My weary hope tries to realize that happy day when man shall recognize the science of Christ and love his neighbor as himself, when he shall realize God's omnipotence and the healing power of the divine love in what it has done and is doing for mankind. Let's have a few moments of silent prayer and then pray together the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Let's sing our second hymn. It's 403. I'll read the second verse. When free from envy, scorn, and pride, our wishes all above, each can his brother's failings hide and show a brother's love. Hymn number 403. Thank you. good evening again, and welcome to those, including those that have joined us on the call-in line. We're so happy that you're there. I have a couple of real fast announcements. They're both on November the 17th. The one is right after church here. The board is inviting you all to stay after church for a social sharing time with refreshments and showing their appreciation for all that you have done for our church and just giving us the time to talk with each other and share. We also have, I've been given a new alert on a lecture that's going to be given in Louisville on Sunday 17th at 3 p.m. And it's by Michelle Nanuch. And it's entitled Angry No More, From Hurt to Health Through Forgiveness. And this is at the Louisville Church, and we'll have this posted in the back as far as the address goes. There is free child care, and it's going to be held at their church. So she's awfully good. I might want to come down there to hear her. So, and I did look up, and I found out that she that Louisville is on the same time that we are. I thought maybe there might be a time difference, but there isn't. They're on Eastern time. Now it's your turn to share any thoughts or feelings that you would like to share. Sharon has the microphone, and if you feel more comfortable staying seated, please feel comfortable in doing that. And make sure you hold the microphone nice and close so everyone online can hear, as well as the audience here. Now it's your turn.
I've had a couple of nice demonstrations that I'd like to share tonight. The first one, I'll start with the sort of funny one. It was 2 weeks ago tonight. I was actually not going to come to church. I had another engagement I was supposed to be going to. And while I was getting ready, my little chihuahua decided to take off out of the yard, which he's been doing some lately, and I don't understand why, but anyway, after driving all over the neighborhood and being very upset about the situation, I came home and I just sat down and I thought, why are you getting all upset about this? The answer is, like all things, there is nothing lost in God's kingdom. And I have demonstrated that so many times I couldn't even tell you. I guess I... over my years of being around. So anyway, I just sat in my easy chair, got out the lesson, started listening to the lesson, and I just thought, you know, I just knew that he was in his right place, and that I would have been able to find him if he was just wandering the neighborhood. So I knew that someone had to have him and was taking care of him for me. And about 3 hours later, my neighbor next door comes over to me and says, I know where your dog is. I know where your dog is. I'm really, where? Well, it turns out my neighbor across the street had seen him wandering and brought him in and put him in her garage. And she was not aware who he belonged to, obviously. And they had to leave, but they posted it on I posted things on Facebook and was not getting any response. But they posted on some other social media that I wasn't familiar with that they had found this dog. And so I got him back. But just, you know, it's just one of those demonstrations of obviously everything is in its right place. There's nothing lost in God's kingdom. And just, you know, have to be still and listen, and the answer comes. So I was very happy for that. And then also, I've been had an issue that I've been dealing with for a while now. And it just, for the longest time, it just didn't seem to be getting any better. And to the point where my children were saying, Mom, you've got to do something about this. Gotta, you know, they weren't really saying what I needed to do, but they said, you have to do something. I said, obviously, I'm doing something. But it just didn't seem to be getting any better. And then about a month or so ago, everything in the lesson just started honing right in and speaking right to me. And slowly but surely, it's gotten better. And I felt like tonight was a good night for me to say the healing is complete. And as we always know, God knows what we need. And when it's the time for that to be demonstrated, it will be. And I'm here to say right now, the healing is complete. And I'm very grateful for Christian Science.
Thank you.
I really loved the last testimony. And because God knows when it is right for us to understand and be healed, we just need to be patient. And I'm very grateful to hear all about that.
Thank you. I'd like to share. I'm really being tested. Last week's on kindness and this week's on what it's on, generosity and envy and the lie. We have a neighbor across the street that we've had issues with in the past, and she's not a very happy person. And we've dealt with her a couple of times in her unhappiness with us. And she's expressed herself in a very volatile, not nice way, cussing and giving her opinion on things that aren't necessarily true or even make sense. And so she called last weekend and on Saturday and was upset because we had parked our car, she thought, on her side of the street. And before, about a year ago, we had done the same thing, and she claims that the way we had parked our car broke her sprinkler heads, and that we owed her money for those sprinkler heads because of the way we parked. And I wrote her back a letter, a very kind letter, and I explained that there are many things that could have happened to those heads. It was not our car being parked there. That it could have been she has a lawn service, and the bad winter last year could have done it, or just other people could have parked on her side. The lawn care people always park in front of her house. Their great big truck and trailer, they could have done this and broken the sprinkler heads. But I said that we did, in fact, park on that particular time period that she claimed that we parked. That we could have broken one of her heads. So we offered to pay for one out of the two heads. And I sent her a check, and she wasn't very happy about that because she felt like that we owed her the whole thing. Well, she thought we were parked over there again. It was a car that looked similar to our car. And I tried to explain to her it wasn't our car. But she didn't want to hear about it, and she continued to do name calling, and it really was not a nice situation in that I took it in and I shouldn't have. And in my defense, I said, well, you're not really a nice person. And then as soon as that came out of my mouth, I thought that was not the thing a Christian Scientist should be saying. And, but I was just so got and hurt. That was my first defense. And so as I worked on that for that whole evening and the very next day, worked on animal magnetism because for some reason that was just enveloping my thought. I couldn't stop unplaying all the stuff, the conversation that she had said. And, you know, I came to church the next day and Sunday, and I drove by her house, and that's from the time I left that house until I got here. That's all I could think about. I had to get rid of that before the service. And so I just really, Mary Baker Eddy's hymn that I read Sunday was the thing that healed me. And just was so totally, it was, I don't even remember which one it was, but it was so appropriate. And I was able to finally get rid of those voices inside my head of what I should have said or what I could have said nicer. And the things that she said to me weren't true. It was all lies. And that I really just needed to love my neighbor. And so all this week with the lesson, working with the lesson and working with kindness last week was very helpful. And I was grateful for the timing of all this. But it's not complete. I haven't had the... I haven't been able to... I feel like that I need to... talk to her one way or the other. And I haven't had the confidence that I can do that yet. So the healing's not quite complete, but it's just little baby steps that we are taking each day of loving our neighbors, ourselves. It doesn't have to happen all at once, I keep telling myself. And that as soon as I am so completely free of any kind of sadness or feeling of being attacked, I am going to approach her. But I just want to express my gratitude for the hymns, for Mrs. Eddy, just for Christian Science in general, and how that it's always there to help us in any situation.
Thank you for the readings from the desk. They challenged me a little bit, like you were talking about your situation, but they challenged me. We're having a situation with our pup, and it seemed to be right for us to have him checked out, make sure that he wasn't in any great pain, because our first choice is to have him comfortable at all times. And in the process, we were thinking about a couple hymns, and the one thought that came to me was, a spiritual idea has not a single element of error, and this truth moves properly whatever is offensive. He doesn't seem to want to eat. He seems to be very stubborn right now. he'll eat something for a day or two, and then he'll change his mind and won't want to eat that anymore. He'll go to something else. But anyway, so we're working through that situation. But the thing that really struck me tonight about your lesson was Jacob getting 20 and being able to give that out. And then the thing that really impressed me was the three stages, and I can't remember what the three stages are. The three stages of scientific being, I believe, something to that extent.
Right. Three degrees.
And I guess when you think about pups, all they do is give back and give love and give comfort, and all they're doing is reflecting God. He's probably closer to that third degree than I am. So I guess I have some to aspire to now. But anyway, Shirley was led to look up some things and find a couple things that he chowed down tonight. So we know things are progressing in the right direction. But it's something we are working forward towards. And it's your lesson and your hymns, too, were very great. And I will read those back and see where else we can go with it. Christian Science is a wonderful way of life, and I love every moment.
Yes, I wanted to just add that even though he's been picky, I became very fearful this time because it was like, 4 days. And I unfortunately started remembering some things to happen with prior animals when they pets stopped eating. So I was very fearful, and we called our wonderful practitioner and just got so many. Kent was doing some good work, and I was trying. I just seemed to be able to get the fear out of my mind, and such wonderful thoughts from our practitioner about God, filling every need, and that we are fed spiritually, and linked it to less honesty with God. God forbid that Max should be anything less than, satisfied. And so trying to listen, God, tell me what to do. Tell us what to do. And like Kent said, it was just this idea came to me to God saying to try this. And, it worked. So we think we've taken a big old baby step, and that we just know that there is progress, and progress is a law of God, and we'll continue to see more progress as we go through. So I, too, am very, very grateful for Christian Science and for the support of not only our practitioner, but, the rest of our church family and our community. Thank you.
Thank you.
I want to express my gratitude for the readings tonight and the last few Wednesdays. The subject has been clear, and the readings have related to it. And tonight we were at dinner at one of our favorite places, and there was a young couple sitting next to us, and I just was teasing them. I could see they were married. Now, I said to her, "Why did you marry such an older man?" She said, "He's only 2 years older than I am." I said, "Oh, I'm sorry, sir." Of course, they laughed. But the bottom line was, we got to talking, and she said, "Tonight we're going to a meeting of some church members. Every Wednesday night we have a meeting. And we go and talk and discuss things." And I said, "That's exactly what we're doing. We go to a church meeting every Wednesday night, and we have subjects that are discussed and in-depth readings. And the readings relate to a subject lately, and it's just been so, I don't know. It just makes you want to come to Wednesday night service, and I appreciate that." And it was fun sharing with this young couple, and they wanted to know a little bit more, and I said, "Well, you should come to our meeting some night." But anyway, bottom line is, it's an opportunity we have Wednesday nights to share and to grow, and it is so appreciated, especially the testimonies and the readings from the desk. I do appreciate it. And it usually hits home beautifully. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all for your testimonies. Let's conclude our service by singing hymn 180. I'll read the second verse again. Here we rest content. Good from God is sent where seeds of love are sown, who, as himself his neighbor loves, by constant purpose proves his neighbor's good his own. Hymn number 180.
Thank you for listening to First Church of Christ Scientus Carmel Wednesday evening service. You can join us any Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. at our church located at 116th and Haverstick Road in Carmel. Or give us a call on the Listen Line, 317-688-9898, 317-688-9898. Thanks again for listening.